Bibles this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 11. 1 Chronicles chapter 11. We've got a word from God in relation to a Memorial Day celebration. And so today we are going to talk about heroes to remember. Heroes to remember. As we've mentioned several times already today, it is Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day weekend might mean something different to lots of different people. Typically on Memorial Day weekend, you can find parades and big crowds celebrating and remembering all of our heroes that have gone home to be with the Lord. Of course, this year it's going to be a little different. But in our own unique way, I think it's appropriate, very appropriate, that we remember those that have given so much for our country and for our freedom. As we think about heroes today, we might ask ourselves, well, what makes a hero? How would we define what a hero really is? And depending on who you asked, it might be a wide variety of answers you might get. Let me give you one that I jotted down. What makes a hero? How about one who risks their all or gives their all to help or serve their fellow man? I think that's a pretty good example of a hero. It deals with one who risks and one who gives, one who helps and one who serves. And of course, in regards to Memorial Day, we think of ones that have laid their lives down as they served and definitely would be heroes. Many are calling medical workers and first responders heroes today. And I definitely would agree. I think they are heroes because they risk, because they give, and because they sacrifice. And some of them have paid the ultimate price as well. And so I believe they are heroes. But today we want to remember a different group of heroes. A different group of heroes. We want to honor a special elite group. Ones who have had values like this. Loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and courage. Very admirable values, I might say. Some gave it all, but all gave some. And so today we want to remember those heroes especially that have given it all on battlefields around the world. Today we're going to dig into 1 Chronicles chapter 11, verses 10 to 19 as we think about heroes to remember. We're going to find some of the ones in Scripture that were considered to be heroes. David referred to this group as his mighty men. And to be honest with you, I've always wanted to preach a message on David's mighty men. And so this is my opportunity, all right? So follow along in your Bibles as we look at just a few of these mighty men in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, beginning in verse 10. It says, "These were the chiefs of David's mighty men. They, together with all of Israel, gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land as the Lord had promised. This is the list of David's mighty men. Jashobeam, a Hakmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pas Damim when the Philistines gathered there for battle. At a place where there was a field full of barley, the troops fled before the Philistines. But they took their stand in the middle of the field, and they defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory." Verse 15, "Three of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, 'Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem.' The three broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. 'God forbid that I should do this,' he said. 'Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives, because they risked their lives to bring it back? David would not drink it.' Such were the exploits of David's three mighty men." Let's go to the Lord in prayer today as we dig into His Word together. Dear Father, we thank You for the heroes of the past. We thank you especially, Lord, for the American soldiers that have gone out on battlefields all around the world to serve our country. Lord, we thank you for their sacrifice today. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty and the freedom and all the privileges we have as Americans. And we realize, Lord, that these privileges did not come free, but there was an incredible sacrifice that was paid so that we could even meet together today to worship you. Lord, thank you for those that have given so much. We also pray for those that are still giving as we speak. We pray, Lord, that you would protect them and that you would bring them each home safely to their families. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the heroes of the past that we find even within Scripture. We thank you, Lord, for their dedication, their devotion, their loyalty. And pray, Lord, as we remember their sacrifices, each one of us would also sacrifice to serve you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first thing I'd like to speak to you about for a few minutes today as we think about heroes of the past or heroes to remember is a soldier sacrifices for freedom. The reason why our soldiers have given so much, it's for freedom. They paid the price so that we could be free. And they definitely deserve the gratitude of a grateful nation. They deserve the gratitude of a grateful nation. In Israel, while David was king, he had a very large army. Actually, some might be surprised, but at the height of his kingdom, his army actually numbered over 1 million strong. 1 million strong were his fighting men. 1.1 million is what we have in Scripture. But there was also a special elite group referred to as his mighty men. These mighty men were a group of 30. And you might say they were the chiefs, they were the commanders, they were the generals. They were the 30 that were over this million-man army that David had at his disposals. Now in the list, obviously we didn't read the whole list today, it would take far too long, but there was actually 37 names on this list. Most people believe that, of course, it was 30 that served at a time, but as one rolled off or maybe wasn't able to serve, somebody else would take their place. So it was a revolving number of at least 30 brave men that served in David's military and were called his mighty men. David recognized that it was the soldiers, the military, that helped the nation to be strong. All right? David gave them credit. He says the reason why Israel back in his day was strong and healthy and protected, he said it was thank goodness for the military. The military that went out there to fight the battles, perhaps some of them on distant lands, so that the nation of Israel could be safe and secure. And so David gave them credit. Keep in mind, I believe strongly, and most of you probably do as well, one of the keys in order to have peace is to have a strong military. You have a strong military and you hope you never need to use them, but it's good to have them there for that security that they can provide. And that's the way I like to think about the American soldier. Out there on the front lines, on the battlefields, if they're needed, then thank goodness we have them. We've had them now, and of course we have had them in the past. That's one of the keys to all the freedoms that we get to enjoy. I found a poem. This poem is written by Charles M. Province. I think it's one of Wayne's favorites. And here's what it says. It says, it is not the soldier. I'm sorry. I got that wrong right from the start. It is the soldier. It is the soldier. Here's what it says. It is the soldier, not the minister, who has given us freedom of religion. It is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us the freedom of the press. It is the soldier, not the poet, who has given us freedom of speech. It is the soldier, not the campus organizer, who gives us freedom to protest. It is the soldier, not the lawyer, who gives us the freedom to a fair trial. It is the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the right to vote. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protester to burn the flag. It's the soldier. It's the soldier that we can be thankful for that has blessed us with all those incredible freedoms that we get to enjoy as Americans. Americans can be thankful for our freedoms. On Memorial Day, we remember especially those that paid with their very lives so that we could have the freedoms that we do. How many of you know today we owe them a debt of gratitude that we can't possibly repay? Gratitude of a grateful nation. But look at letter B. Also the grace of a merciful God. The grace of a merciful God. David also recognized the hand of God who helped the nation and even helped the military every single step of the way. You see, we can't leave God out of the equation, can we? He's the one who gives us strength. He's the one who gives us the abilities. He's the one who gives us wisdom. He's the one who has blessed us with our men and women that are still defending our land today. So thank goodness for the hand of God who has helped us every single step of the way. David says in these first couple of verses that we looked at today, in verse 10, he says, the Lord has kept his promises. And that's still true today, isn't it? God keeps his promises. He always keeps his promises. He goes on and says, because the Lord Almighty was with them, they were victorious. One of my favorite verses in the Psalms is Psalm 20, verse 7. And it says, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord Most High. That's where our faith needs to be. It needs to be in God. It needs to be in Him. The same David that stood before Goliath knew the true source of our nation's strength and the true source of his nation's strength. You remember as he approached the giant? And by the way, if you look in the scripture, I think it's 1 Samuel 17, David wasn't cowering. He actually ran towards the Philistine giant. And he looked at Goliath. He said, you trust in the spear and the javelin and the sword, but I trust, do you remember what he said? I trust in the name of the Lord Most High. See, David knew where the strength came from. And the best soldiers also know where their strength comes from. It comes from the Lord. I can say without reservation today, I believe wholeheartedly, and many of you do as well, America has been blessed by God. Our country has been blessed by God. A little bit ago, we sang a song, America the Beautiful, and it says, but God has shed His grace on thee. Isn't that true? God has certainly shed His grace on this beautiful country that we get to enjoy. But don't take these freedoms for granted. There was a heavy price that was paid. America is a country that God has provided for, God has protected, God has prospered, and we can sum it all up by saying a nation that God has blessed. How many of you want that blessing to continue? Amen? You know what? We need to keep our eyes and our hearts focused on God, and the blessing will continue. But shame on us if we ever take our eyes off of God, and if we ever forget that He is the reason why we have all these blessings, including the mighty men that have gone before us. You see, we may not be a theocracy, but God has truly shed His grace on thee. A soldier sacrifices for freedom. Look at number two. A soldier stands with courage. A soldier stands with courage. You can see the encounter that we mentioned here. It's just one verse. Let me reread it. Verse 11, in 1 Chronicles 11, it says, Yashobeam, a Hakmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Now, I'll tell you what, that's something, isn't it? 300 in one encounter. You see, he resolved to stand firm. Yashobeam resolved to stand firm. We mentioned already this morning that David had his 30 mighty men. But there were actually three men that he called chiefs, the chief three. And Yashobeam was one of those men. Eleazar was the other, and Shammah was the third. You might say they were superheroes of the nation of Israel, right? In fact, when you think about it, 300 men at one time, that even exceeds what David did with Goliath, I think in my book anyway. And so they actually make the David and Goliath story seem small in comparison to the great and mighty works that God was able to do through David's mighty men. Keep in mind, we only have some of the encounters recorded for us to learn from and for us to look at. But here's one of them. Scripture tells us that Yashobeam was from the tribe of Benjamin. Now, it calls him a Hackmanite, but that's because he was from the city or from the town of Hackman. It says, with a spear, he killed at least 300 men in one battle. Some say, actually, that number could have been more. In one of the parallel accounts found in, I believe, 1 Samuel 23, it mentions a number of 800 men. So we could say he killed at least 300 men with his spear. Think about the courage and the bravery. You think about, well, what does courage mean? One definition says it means to face our fears. To face our fears or to overcome our fears. Did you ever think about those men that stormed the beaches of Normandy? When you see the movies and the videos and you see the barges that approach the shore and the door comes down. And then those men have to walk straight in to artillery in order to make it to the beach. You know what? They did that for us. Talk about facing your fears. I don't know if I could have done that. God would have certainly had to help me, and I'm sure he did each and every one of those brave soldiers. But think about their bravery. Talk about facing their fears. Think about somebody in a foxhole, you know, during the Vietnam War or other wars, you know, ducking their heads down in the midst of artillery and fire. I'll tell you what. Sometimes it takes bravery just to get up in the morning, let alone facing some of the struggles that our veterans and those that have laid their lives down on battlefields around the world. I can't imagine going to sleep at night and hearing the artillery all around you. You know what? Our veterans know what that's like. And they did it for us. Faced their fears. Courageous men and women that have served on battlefields around the world. Here's a quote from General Norman Schwarzkopf. It says, "It doesn't take a hero to order men into battle. It takes a hero to be one of those who goes into battle." Makes a lot of sense. And I'm sure the general has had many a days on the battlefields around the world as well. Resolve to stand firm in the face of incredible danger. Look at letter B. Remembered for their incredible bravery. Remembered for their incredible bravery. David's mighty men, their adventures are recorded for all of us to see. Of course, we know about the passage in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. A parallel passage to it is 1 Samuel 23. All right? And so it's got a parallel passage. So it's recorded at least two different times, some of their adventures and endeavors. We have thousands of brave American soldiers. In fact, some of them are from our own families. You know some brave veterans, don't you? And some of them might not have come home from different battlefields. We have at least two sets of Gold Star parents actually in our church. I wasn't aware of this until fairly recently. But the first one I want to mention, he's from the Army. His name has already been read this morning, but Omar Johnson. His mom is Versette Johnson. You know what? He was in the military when the Lord called him home. She's a Gold Star mom. We've got another one. Sergeant Angela Steger, in the Air Force she served, and she also was serving our country when she went home to glory. James and Gloria are her parents, two sets of Gold Star parents. We also, my wife's uncle, Milton Paul Bohr, let me say that again, served in the Army during World War II. It was during the Battle of Remagen, it doesn't exactly flow off your tongue. But in the Battle of Remagen, there's actually been movies that have been written about it. But it was during that battle that Milton laid his life down for our country. And keep in mind, those are only the ones I'm aware of. There's going to be people coming to me after church letting me know about uncles and brothers and sisters that have also paid the ultimate price. But what I'm telling you this morning is people we know. People that we've heard of, people that are related to us all across our country that have paid the ultimate price. And you know what? Thank goodness for their bravery. Thank goodness for their courage. There's actually a book that was written by John Harrington in 2018, and it mentions 50 of America's greatest heroes. So you ready to hear about all 50 of them? No? How about we limit it down to 3? All right? We got time for 3, not 50. All right. Although it would be wonderful to hear all 50. You have to go get the book in order to read about all 50. Let me mention a couple of them this morning to you. The first one is Audie Murphy. Audie Murphy. He was a second lieutenant in the Army during World War II. The medals he received were the Medal of Honor, the Distinguished Service Cross, and the Silver Star, highly decorated. Murphy is the most decorated American soldier in World War II. Murphy, who saw combat in Italy and France, is credited with killing 240 German soldiers. Brave man. Here's another one, David McCampbell. David McCampbell. His rank was commander. He served in the Navy again during World War II. The medals he received were the Medal of Honor, the Navy Cross, and the Silver Star. It says McCampbell shot down 34 Japanese planes, engaging the enemy many times despite overwhelming odds. On October 24, 1944, he shot down 9 planes in a period of 95 minutes. And one more that maybe is more familiar to you, because there was actually a movie that was made about this individual called Hacksaw Ridge. It's a wonderful movie, but be careful. There's a lot of wartime stories going on in the middle of it, so it's hard to watch. But his name was Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss. He was a corporal in the Army once again during World War II. Doss, who was enlisted, though he was a conscientious objector, he still volunteered, and he was a medic during World War II in the Pacific Theater. He received the Medal of Honor for saving lives while he was wounded during the fighting on Okinawa. During the movie Hacksaw Ridge in 2016, the movie came out, he is credited for saving 75 lives in one of the bloodiest battles in World War II. He might have been a conscientious objector, but he was certainly brave and courageous. He was a medic. He wanted to go there to help people. He figured there were enough people that showed up with guns. He wanted to show up with his medicine bag and do what he could to help those that were fighting for our country. Today, we need to remember all these heroes. Keep in mind, we just mentioned a couple of them this morning. We've got thousands. So far, there has been 1.1 million American soldiers that have given their lives on battlefields around the world. We just mentioned a few. We need to remember their sacrifice. Today, we are soldiers in the Lord's army. I never served active in the military. All right, many of you, some of you have, some of you haven't. But you know what? We're all soldiers in the Lord's army. And He needs some brave, courageous men and women that stand up for what's right, that stand up and live the Christian life. That takes bravery and courage too. We need definitely some good soldiers in the Lord's army as well. So far, we've talked about a soldier sacrifices for freedom. A soldier stands up with courage. Thirdly, a soldier serves with devotion. A soldier serves with devotion. Letter A, fully committed to the cause. Fully committed to the cause. In verses 12 to 14, I'm not going to reread them this morning, but here we meet another one of David's top three mighty men. The chiefs among the mighty men. His name is Eleazar. He's also from the tribe of Benjamin. And the nation of Israel is in the middle of an extreme battle. It must have been a very intense battle. In fact, it was so intense that we're told in this scripture that the army basically fled before the enemy. They were running for their lives. Well, we might say most of them were running for their lives. Because the army fled before the Philistines, but not Eleazar. He took his stand in the middle of a barley field. This passage says that he stood side by side with David. Now, this could either be literal, it could be the king was right there by his side, or it could be figurative. It could be that he was standing up for his king, he was standing up for his country, and he wasn't going to let those Philistines have the day. And so he stood side by side with David. If literal, then think about it this way. This devoted soldier likely saved the king's life. Had Eleazar run and left David there by himself, they could have lost their king. Would have been devastating. But that's exactly what our heroes do today. They serve, they fight, they defend so that we can live in freedom. Just like Eleazar, they're out there on battlefields all around the world taking their stand so that we can live in freedom. That's exactly what heroes do. They serve and to fight. The troops finally returned to the barley field, but you know why they returned? Just to collect the plunder. The soldiers, the Philistines, were already dead. Fully committed to the cause. He didn't run when everybody else ran. Look at letter B. He freely gave their very best. Freely gave their very best. A parallel passage in 2 Samuel. I saw why you raised your hand back there, Jim. And I was saying 1 Samuel 23. The parallel passage, if you're trying to find it, is actually 2 Samuel chapter 23. That parallel passage says that Eleazar fought so hard and so long that literally his hand became frozen to his sword. It was just stuck. He couldn't get it released. That's how hard he fought. His devotion to the cause turned defeat that day into a great victory. Instead of the nation of Israel being defeated by the Philistines and running for their lives, Eleazar took his stand and he fought bravely and gave his all so that they could get the victory. That's what happens when we stand together, united in love. Think about some of the military slogans that you might be familiar with that talk about the fact that when a soldier goes out there, they don't go out by themselves. They've got brothers and sisters that actually stand right by their side, fellow soldiers. Military slogans, a recruiting one was called an army of one. An army of one. And it's focusing on teamwork. It's not talking about they just go out there by themselves, but it's talking about they're such a close-knit group that when they go out, they act like one soldier. Such united. How about another one here called Band of Brothers? Here's one that I'm taking and see if you can figure out where this one comes from. I'll give you a clue. It doesn't come from the Marine Corps or the Army or the Navy or the Air Force. All for one and one for all. Where's it come from? Three Musketeers. All right, we got a Three Musketeers fan back there. But it does paint the same picture, doesn't it? All right, say it with me. I know you want to. All for one and one for all. Let me hear you. All right. Sounds like you're pretty unified this morning. That's good. All right. By the way, there's a movie that came out way back in 1986 that paints a good picture. It was called Top Gun. Been a long time since I watched it. All right. It's not a Christian movie, mind you. All right. There's actually another one that's going to be coming out a little bit later this year called Maverick. But there's one line in the movie that I think applies to what we're talking about today. And you're going to know it when I say it. The line is, never leave your wingman. Right? And it talks about the fact that when the planes fly together, and I'm not sure, I was never in the Navy, I'm not too sure the way it works, but basically one plane was protecting the plane that was in front. And it was a valuable lesson he had to learn in the movie because he was just kind of a lone ranger and he had to remember that they're in this together. And thank goodness that's the way our military serves, isn't it? They serve as one. They serve united. Eleazar served that way. He wasn't going to let his king, let his commander down. He was going to serve united. He was devoted to the cause. And don't you know we've got so many soldiers today that are devoted to the cause. A soldier sacrifices for freedom. A soldier stands up with courage. A soldier serves with devotion. And finally, the last point, number four, a soldier's sense of loyalty. A soldier's sense of loyalty. This is verses 15 to 19. The first thing we see here is selfless sacrifice readily given. A selfless sacrifice that was readily given. In these verses, we see David pictured in the stronghold. You say, well, where was the stronghold? It was actually in a cave that wasn't too far from the Dead Sea, a little bit to the south of Jerusalem. The stronghold was actually called the Cave of Adullam. The Cave of Adullam. So David is, they've got him there so he could be protected from the Philistines. He's in a, let's say, a safe place. Well, the three of the greatest mighty men come to visit David while he's in the cave, probably to give him a report on how the battle's doing, how the troops are doing, where the Philistines are, kind of give him an update, a battle report. And here's what the king said to him. I'm sure it was just in a conversation, but he said, the king longed for a drink of sweet Bethlehem water. Now, let me paint the picture a little bit more for you today. Keep in mind, does anybody remember where David was from? He grew up in Bethlehem, right? The same place that our Lord came into the world was where David tended the flocks and tended the sheep. And so in his conversation with these three mighty men that came to visit him, he just kind of in conversation, he said, oh, how I long for a taste of that spring water that I got to enjoy when I was a boy. He's just thinking back about how wonderful it would be to receive some refreshing water. He was thinking about how wonderful it was back in the day when things were a little bit better. Well, I'll tell you what, the three mighty men, they took it literal, didn't they? And they said, our king wants a taste of that Bethlehem spring water, and we're going to get it for him. All right? And I'll tell you what they went through to satisfy their king. Let me remind you also today, that's where the Philistine stronghold was. Their garrison, it says, was actually in Bethlehem. So you say, well, where were the Philistines? Where was the enemy? In Bethlehem? That's the exact place that these three mighty men had to go back in order to get to the well that David mentioned by the gate. The king longed for a drink of sweet Bethlehem water. That's where the home base of the enemy was. It was about a 15-mile dangerous journey from the cave of Adullam to Bethlehem where the well was. These three mighty men, they fought through the enemy lines. They battled through and they returned. They returned with the water, maybe a canteen or a bottle or a jar filled with the water, and they brought it to their king. All right? Now, some of us might be asking this morning, why didn't they just take the canteen off their belt and say, here, David, here's some water for you? Why? Because it wasn't what the king was longing for. They had such a love, such a devotion, such a love for both king and country that they were willing to risk it all because they loved their leader that much. Think about it. Why do we have men and women today on battlefields all around the world representing each of us, standing in harm's way for us? Why do they do it? Why are they willing to give such a sacrifice? Because they love their country and they love their fellow man and woman. They're willing to risk it all because they love. And because of that, they are loyal and they are brave. Selfless sacrifice readily given. Look at letter B. Sacrifice must be remembered. This is the most important part of the message we're going to talk about today. The sacrifices that we've been talking about must be remembered. David knew that there was only one who deserved such love and loyalty. Now, I often think about what these three individuals that had to go through just an amazing adventure, risk it all, fight for this water. Did you remember? Did you notice what David does with the water when he brings it back? He says, thank you. And then he pours it out. He pours it out on the ground as an offering to God. He says, basically, he's a humble man. He says, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this incredible sacrifice that these men were willing to pay for me. And so he offers it up as a sacrifice and an offering. Now, how many of you think he would have loved to take a drink of that water? Right? Kind of makes you thirsty just thinking about it, doesn't it? You got to wait a little bit longer before you can get a drink of that refreshing water yourself. All right, I know I could probably use some this morning as well. But David knew that he wasn't worthy of such sacrifice. David's mighty men, their names and their exploits are recorded in Scripture. We've already mentioned this several times this morning. Two different times in Scripture, you can reread basically the same story that we're talking about today and so much more. Now, here's something that's very interesting. And by the way, it's kind of hard to find in your Bibles. It's kind of tucked away in the book of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 3:16, just jot it down. You don't have to turn there now, but jot it down. It mentions a particular building in the city of Jerusalem. And you know what the name of this building is? The House of Heroes. The House of Heroes. You say, well, what was this building? Most people believe it was a house that the king had set up for his royal guard. You know how we're talking about the mighty men today? The 30 mighty men and the chief three that served over them? They had a particular building in the city of Jerusalem, not too far from the palace, that was the House of the Mighty Men. I don't know if their names were etched on the side of it or those that served in the military. I wouldn't be surprised if they were. But there was actually a building that was built in honor of these brave heroes. On Memorial Day, we remember the 1.2 million men and women that gave their lives to defend our country. Earlier I said 1.1 million, 1.2 million lives that were given so that we could be free. They gave their lives to defend the freedom. The question I want to leave you with today, how can we possibly say thank you? How can I say thank you to all these brave men and women that have given the ultimate price for me? Some came home, some didn't come home. How can we say thank you? Here's a few ideas. First of all, how many of you know we can be grateful? Don't take it for granted, but be grateful. Be thankful for the price that is paid. We can also be faithful. Be faithful to pick up the baton in whatever way we can to continue the cause, to continue to serve God and serve country. Be grateful, be faithful. Be brave. Be brave. They were brave. I need to be equally brave to fight for causes that are important, to defend our Christianity and the freedoms that we get to enjoy. Be brave. Be loyal. And then, lastly, be proud. I'm a proud American, and I'll tell anybody that I'm proud to be an American, and I'm thankful for all those that have paid the price for me. Five things that I listed. How can we say thank you? Be grateful, be faithful, be brave, be loyal, and be proud. Not proud in a boastful, egotistical way, but be proud. Be proud that we get to stand under the red, white, and blue as Americans. Three things as we close and have our time of invitation today. First of all, there is one hero whose sacrifices rises higher than any of the heroes that we've talked about today. And I think you know his name, don't you? His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and he willingly and voluntarily laid his life down, not on a battlefield, but on the greatest battlefield, the cross of Calvary. He died in our place on the cross of Calvary so that we could be forgiven. In John 15, 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay his life down for his friends." You've got a Savior that laid his life down for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. The question is, let's not take that sacrifice for granted either. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, the good news is you can receive him today. You can receive his forgiveness, you can tell him thank you, and you can show him you're grateful for the rest of your life by the way you live your life. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If not, you can know him today. Second of all today, as Americans, let us always stand up to defend the freedoms that our soldiers have died for. Let us stand up to defend the freedoms that our soldiers have died for. You say, what are they? Well, three of them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let's stand up for life. Let's stand up for the unborn. Let's stand up for the elderly. Let's stand up for each other. Liberty, the freedoms that we have to worship, to come together as churches around the country to worship God. All the freedoms that we have listed in our Constitution, we need to stand up for those freedoms. We need to be brave, just like our soldiers. Christians need courage and boldness to stand up today for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then thirdly, take time to thank a veteran this weekend. They were all there. They were all there. All the veterans. Everybody that wore the uniform of these beautiful Corps flags that are in front of us this morning. They were all there. Some came back home to serve their families. Some the Lord took home while they're away from their families, but all were willing. Anybody who has worn the uniform and signed up or volunteered to serve in the military, they were willing to pay the ultimate price for our freedom. How many of you know that they deserve our honor, respect, and gratitude for that? Take time to thank a veteran today. Give them the honor that they're due. Let's have a word of invitation and a time of prayer this morning. as we make decisions that would be pleasing to God. Dear Father,